I went back and I started studying Micah chapter 7. I read the rest of the book too. But the fact was this. We go through disappointment in our lives, no matter what we say. Disappointment comes at every corner that you turn to. You wonder why sometimes things happen like they do. Everything that we do is in God's hands, and everything that's appointed to us is in God's hands. But what about when you feel disappointed? What's the first thing that you do? Well, first of all, we blame our own expectations because we try to get above what we needed to do. We blame those who love us. That's the easy one. It's all your fault. It happened this way. We also ought to blame God. He may not admit that, but we do. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I am disappointed in you. We do those things. You may not say it out loud, but in your mind, in your thought, it's right there, isn't it? Because we want everything to be perfect. Nothing in this life is perfect. You understand that? The only one that was ever perfect was Jesus Christ, and he crucified him on the cross. So when you think about today and disappointment, there's something that comes to mind. It's called repentance. It's called acceptance by the grace of God that he has given to us. And if we would remember that God's grace is sufficient enough for us, we can overcome disappointment in life and move ahead in relationship with him. This text in chapter 7 talks about really the summer of disappointment. We have just come out of our summertime. We're now in fall time. Everybody likes the leaves falling on the ground, amen? I mean, you keep trying to get them up and they keep coming, huh? Don't they grow every day? And then wintertime is coming. It's frigid cold. We feel it in the air right now, you know, when we go outside. I mean, the 30s tonight. You believe that? Isn't that amazing to you? It's amazing to me. But the time of the year is changing. Well, the times are changing, too, for Micah. Because, see, Micah had been out and he was preaching God's word to the fullest expression that God gave him. He was working. He was striving for. He was going ahead doing everything. But there was a problem. Nobody listened to what he was saying. It's no different in Micah's day than it is in our day, and he was disappointed. Preachers God's word. Preachers watch God's people. Preachers get disappointed because God's people don't do what God tells them to. And then people get disappointed because they're not doing what they should do, and they know it, but they still don't want to change their attitude. Amen? That's the life that we live today. Why is that? I think sometimes it was like disappointment. I don't like disappointment. I like for things to be smooth and calm. How about you? You like that? You want everything to be up front and everything should be good. Well, during this time of Micah, you can find out that the Assyrian army had already captured the northern kingdom. They were under their rule. All of a sudden, it says that Judah itself had barely escaped being under the Assyrian rule, but later on it came about. And now they were getting depressed. Also with Micah, he was getting very depressed too. But what did he do? You're going to see this morning that there's only one thing that you can do when things aren't going well. You need to call upon the name of the Lord to get you through. You need to trust in him in everything that you do every single day. And if we would remember to trust him, how much better off would we be? You see, God calls us as a nation and as an individual to truly examine where we are today. Where are you right now in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Have one. What's going to happen when disappointment comes your way and you have no one to turn to? You see, God is always there to help us through the difficult times of life. And I pray that you'll understand that this morning. Please stand with me in reverence and reading God's Word this morning. I'll be reading from the ESV Bible this morning. It's got bigger letters and I can see them better than I could in my King James Bible, so I had to make a little change this morning. But it reads about the same as we say. It's all God's Word. He said, "Woe is me," in chapter 7, verse 1 of Micah. "Woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered. As when the grapes," he said, "have been gleaned, there is no cluster to eat." He said, "No first ripe fruit that my soul desires. The godly have perished from the earth," it says, "and there is no one upright among mankind." Now, I want you to understand something. What is he saying? He said, there is no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood. They each, it says, hunts the other with a net. Their hands are on what is evil to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe. And the great man, he said, utters the evil desire of his soul. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright of them, a thorn hedge, it says. The day of your watchment, of your punishment, has come. Now their confusion is at hand. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then he made a change. And when he said, but for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me. O my enemy, when I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be what? A light to me. I will bear the indignation, he said, of the Lord, because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case. He executes and sets judgment for me. He will bring me out of the light, and I shall look upon his vindication. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask you to take this message this morning and just open us up so we can see where we are, what changes we need to make. We know there's disappointment in our lives, but Father, we can overcome obstacles because you have given us the one who overcame death, hell, and the grave and gave us victory, your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you look at this part of the scripture this morning, it talks about the summer of disappointment, but we have disappointment all year long. We have had a very disappointing year. Amen. We never thought 2020 was going to start out, you know, on a high note and then drop to the bottom like it did. So we've been disappointed. Let me tell you what. We are going through disappointments right now for one reason. Because God is trying to get our attention. And he has done a very good job of it. But there are still people who don't understand that. They still think that, you know, that the way they're living is okay. Let me tell you what. God says that sin will what? Pull you down. Sin will tear a nation apart. And we're seeing it all around us today. What we need to understand in this lesson here about Micah, his disappointment is that his work and his efforts have gone for naught. He's not done it all for nothing. Everything I've done is for nothing, he says. It's just like a gardener who goes out and works, you know. How many of y'all put in the garden this year? Okay? Did you produce a whole lot or just a little bit? Or did you have average? The first thing you do when you start your garden, you try to get into it, and the first thing you start to do is you weed the garden. Amen? Isn't that true? How long was it before you said, forget the weeds because I can't keep up with the weeds? And the grass takes over, and there you are. And by the time you get to the fruit, you know, that's there, some of it's rotted away, some of it didn't produce anything, and there you are. You get a little bit of what you thought you had a whole lot of. We see it over and over again in our walk of life. If you're like a gardener, my friends, you need to understand something. Even during the hot weather, the wet weather, and anything else, when that little bit of producing comes, my friends, you're thankful that you got that much. Isn't that true? You're thankful you got it. Look what Malachi said in the first verse of this text. He said this, woe is me, for I have become as when the summer fruit has been gathered. And he said, as when the grapes have been gleaned, there is no cluster to eat, no first ripe fig, he says, that my soul desires. How would you like to think about yourself today? We're so blessed that we can go into a store and buy food. Amen? I told somebody one time, I said, I think it's cheaper just to go to the store. Isn't that right? After you get the fruit, you know, you get it right there, you just pay so much and you come home. If you raise a crop, what do you have to do? You have to till the ground. You have to make sure that it's fertilized. You have to make sure it's watered. You have to make sure you got all the good stuff to put on it. You know, that seven dust, they call it, to keep the bugs off of it. And you go on and on and on. And if the weather's not right and the rain doesn't come, and you know the water from the rain is better than what you're getting out that hose, amen, I don't know why it is, then all of a sudden when you get to the crop and you go out there and you don't see much, what's the first thing you do? Why did I waste my time putting in this garden? And every year we do the same thing over and over again. Why? Because when you put a garden in and when you're working that garden, you're looking at yourself and saying, look at what I have done. That's what we do. The problem is this. It's not what you have done. God has given you the strength to be able to overcome obstacles, right? To be able to plant the crop, to get the crop in, to eat the fruit that you got. And even if you got enough, you can give it to somebody else. Amen? And I like the peppers that Warren raises because I get a lot of peppers from Warren. He raises peppers. Amen? And I love those green peppers. I don't know about you, but I love them. But the fact is, what happens when you have a drought? I wouldn't have the green peppers, right? I'd have to go to the store and buy it. But that's how we live our lives today. said, it wasn't as much bad as I thought it was in the beginning. So he's telling us in this text right here, he said, I've become like one of these individuals. He said, the summer fruit's not there. He said, I have nothing to eat at this time. And he said, my soul desires that. He said, the godly has perished from the earth, and there was no one upright among mankind. Now, when I read that verse, I thought to myself, I said, you know Elijah, you remember Elijah in the Bible? Elijah had a pity party. You remember Elijah? You know? Remember Jezebel? I'm going to do to you what you did to my prophets up here. I'm going to take care of you. What did he do? He ran away. He got afraid. He left, right? And he went to a distant place, and God was there with him, you know. And he said, why are you here? What's wrong? What's going on with you? He just wanted to hear from him what was happening. And he said this. He said, I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one that's proclaiming your word. There's nobody else out here but me. You ever get to the point that it's just you? Have you ever done that? It's just me, myself, and I, and it's all three of us together. Then all of a sudden, what did the Lord say? He said, I got 7,000 more over here just like you. How would that have made you feel if you'd have been in his place? To know there were more out there just like him doing what? Still proclaiming God. Still proclaiming to the nations that God is alive. Well, see, Michael was having a pity party too when he said, oh, woe is me. He said, look at me. He said, I'm out here. I'm preaching God's word. I'm doing everything that I can, and they still will not listen to me. Why? Because they did not care about what God could do for them. They were only caring about what they could do for themselves. So yeah, Michael was really disappointed. Michael was already upset. You ever think of preachers on Sunday when they go home? Preachers resign every Monday morning. Amen? Every Monday they get up and resign. What's the use? They don't hear, they don't listen, they don't want to do. That's a true statement. I've heard many preachers say that. I've resigned so many times on Monday, you just wouldn't believe it. You ought to see some of the letters I wrote years ago, you know, resigning on Monday, you know. You got a whole stack of them back there. The fact is this, what do? You have to remember one thing, that we as individuals are going to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and we're not concerned about what anybody else thinks. You've got to be concerned about what God thinks about you, what it comes down to. What God thinks about you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks about you. You better be thankful what God is thinking about you, and what are you going to do to change your life? Well, Michael said very plainly, I'm going to go to Malachi and preach too. Michael said very plainly, he said, look, he said, I've done all I can do. He said, there's none upright. They all lie and wait for blood. In other words, you want to kill somebody. They each hunt, he says, the others with a net. Have we heard today in our country, how many murders are there every day? Oh, man, it's everywhere, isn't it? Nobody likes anybody today. Everybody's out for blood today, as we say. And that's not the way life should be. We as Christians are to learn to what? Love one another as Christ loved the church, right? We talk about that in Romans this morning. We're to have a love relationship. Go read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter of the Bible. It just gets your heart right with God, it says. Paul said it very plainly. He said, if I don't have charity, I don't have love, he said, I'm absolutely nothing. See, we as Christians are to generate the love relationship so that we can reach other people. So when you think about this year and the year that's passing by and the new year that's coming in, remember this. These things are going to pass away. COVID's going to leave us one of these days. Don't know when, but it's going to leave us, you know? People are dying every day because of it. Well, why? Why? They say we're not doing what we should do. Let me tell you what. You as an individual is exactly what you need to do to keep yourself safe. Amen? Did you know that? Amen? Isn't that true? And if you don't do that, whose fault is it? Not my fault. It's your fault. Because you know what to do when we don't do it. It's just like reading God's Word. You know what God's Word tells you to do? It tells you what? To depend on God every single day. And if you don't read God's Word and apply God's Word to your life, the only person you're hurting is you yourself. That's what it comes down to. I can't stand over here with a hammer and beat you on the head and read God's Word, can I? I wish I could, but I can't. The fact is, we have to be what? Focused on God. Micah had a great, great job to do. He was out trying to reach people. And then all of a sudden, his whole life just changed. He said, wait a minute here. Things aren't good. We invest our time and our energy into doing everything else for what God wants us to do. And I'll give you the old saying, don't mount the hill of beans. It comes right down to that. Doesn't mount anything. Because we're spending energy on things that we don't need to spend it on. We need to start putting more energy into serving God, spending time in prayer, reading his precious word as we should, sharing the gospel message. disappointing. I know it's disappointing when you try to reach somebody and all of a sudden they just turn you off like a radio. But remember this, you can still pray for that individual no matter what. And pray that God will touch them, that God will move on them. See, we struggle in life. How many school teachers I have here? How many school teachers? Let me ask you a question. When you teach kids all year long, come back to school next year and say maybe you get another group up there, you know, and you know what they've learned the year before when they get to your group, and all of a sudden when they get back in school after the summer vacation, they all go dumb, amen? What have they actually remembered? Be honest with me, what have they remembered? Nothing, right? Why? Is it just a little bit? They know their name, their address, and a phone number, and they got a cell phone, amen? Is that right? But what have they really learned? They forget a lot, don't we? Why do we forget? Because we do not prepare ourselves in the summer months for the months that are coming. They should be reading and studying during the summer no matter what. You should make them, what, take time to read. Do you let your kids read during the summer? Do they do that? Your kids read during the summer? Yeah. And you know why they do better? Because you're taking time. You've got time to make them do what? Move from this position to know that they're going back to school next year and you need to know something a little bit more. But what about parents that don't do that? What about our society that doesn't do that? How do you ever expect to grow? Even in God's world, as senior citizens or whatever we call ourselves today, old people, we don't want to call ourselves old people, I'm a senior citizen. The fact is this, how can we never grow? Because we don't take the time and the opportunity that God has given us, even in our senior citizen years, to sit down and read God's word like this. Very few do that. Why? Because it takes time. We have time to do everything else that we want to do, but we never have time to spend time with God like this. Isn't it sad? Isn't it disgraceful when God looks at us and says, look, where's your energy at today? So you can look at that and you can say to yourself, yeah, we know we need to teach our kids more to do more. How about finances? Finances is a good thing. I'll guarantee you this year, and I just listened to Sarah a while ago, and people not being able to work, being shut down like they were, most of us in this room are very, very blessed to be able to be retired and have income and things like this that the government hasn't taken away from you yet, okay? But you still are concerned about how far your finances are going to go, amen? You tried to do what? You tried to put it into perspective. I've got this much, I spend this much, I can do this much, and I do this much over here. Why do we look at things like that? Because when things don't go well, if some disease comes along, or some financial calamity comes along, the first thing we do, we're disappointed, amen? Isn't that true? We really get down on ourselves. Why didn't I do this, and why didn't I do that? The first thing you have to realize is this. Did you see God and what was going on in your life in the beginning? Did you ask God to help you through the circumstances, whether it's finances, whether it's children, or whatever it may be? And all of a sudden, your whole nest egg is gone. And boy, that's a time of disappointment, isn't it? We see that in people day after day, losing everything that they have. One fire, one accident, one illness. Whatever can come, my friends, can come, and all of a sudden you have absolutely nothing to stand on, do you? Well, I can stand on something that's real. I can stand on the love of Jesus Christ. Micah himself, he was standing there going to himself, I'm the only one left. What am I going to do? People don't listen to me anymore. They're not concerned about their relationship with God. They're going into captivity, and this is things that's going on and on and on. And then he made this statement here, but he said this. Their hands are in verse 3. Their hands are on what is evil to do it well. Man, I tell you what, man does evil well, doesn't he? Isn't that true? Yeah, we can do evil things. The prince and the judge ask for a bride, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul, you know. Thus they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright of them is a thorn hedge, it says. The day of your watchman, of your punishment, he says, come. Now, he says, you're confused. Their confusion is at hand. Why is that? Because they're not listening. What you call that? You call that corrosive disobedience. Things in our life corrode very easily. Have you ever had a corrosive disappointment? Let me explain that to you right here. It means this. We as ourselves, my friends, give in so easy to what I call self-pity. And we get into this self-pity thing, that's when we start becoming corrosive ourselves. deeper and deeper, my friend, our lives start to what? Become more and more corroded. What did he say in this text? So the next verses I read to you, I want you to listen very, very carefully about how corrosive this appointment can be. This is Micah talking. I want you to listen now to what he says. Look at verse number 5. Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats his father with contempt. The daughter herself rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The man's enemies are the men of his own house. What did he just say? He said, because of my attitude and the way I act, my family has become very corrosive to me. I don't trust my friends anymore. I don't trust my neighbors anymore. I don't trust my sons. I don't trust my daughters. I don't trust anything or anybody. I don't trust my mother. I don't trust this person, my daughter-in-law. He said, I don't trust anybody. Why? Because his life has become corrosive because things didn't go well for him. All of a sudden, what did he do? He blames everybody else for his problems. And that's where we live today. When there's a problem that comes along, we want to point fingers to everybody else. It's your fault, Lee. That's what we do. It's your fault, Billy. It's your fault, Doug. It's your fault, Dan. I didn't do it. You did it. That's what we do. And when we start doing that, you watch the corrosion that comes in, and you watch people's lives be what? Disintegrate before you because of a corrosive attitude. And boy, that disappointment will get all over top of you. We don't need that in a world we live in today. You don't have to do anything for man to disappoint you. They'll do it automatically. We do it automatically. That's that nature about us. Because we don't know how to live this upstanding life that God has given to us because we're too busy concerned about what everybody else is doing instead of looking at where we are, where our lives should be, and how we need to get back in first place with God. So you want a corrosive life. If you're living your life today, you're not close to your families like you want to be. Things aren't going well for you with your friends and neighbors. My friends, you know what you need to do? Pray that God will help you clean up your act so that people can see a change in you, which maybe will affect those that you are corrosive against. And that's simple enough, but we make it hard because we don't want to pray, we don't want to seek God, and we could care less about anybody else's relationship. My friends, we got to get back to one thing. God is a God that loves us. God is a God that gave us a lot of love through Jesus Christ. And everything that God has done for us through him, it should be reflected in us as a Christian to those around us. So we have to get away from being disappointed in the world we live in, disappointed in the lives of other people, and look and examine who we are and say to ourselves, am I a part of the problem? If you're part of the problem, you need to make it right. You need to get your life right. Micah said that. He said, look at these people. Look at how they're living their lives today. My goodness. First he thinks faithful, he said. They have disappeared, he said, off the face of the earth. There's nobody that's faithful. You know, we sing a song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You know the song? You know? How faithful are you? You answer that for yourself. How close to God are you? You answer that for yourself. I know how faithful I am. I know how close I am to God. I know how good grace God's grace is for me because what? He put me into ministry. I love him because of it. But let me tell you something. Preachers get disappointed just like everybody else gets disappointed. How do you overcome it? How do you overcome it? Putting God right here in the center of your life. That's how you overcome it. You will never overcome disappointment until God is first place. You've got to put him first in all that you do. Faithful. I read an interesting thing. You'd like this. There's an old Quaker, okay? And he made a statement to his friend. And this is the statement that he made. I want you to listen very carefully. He said, the whole world is wrong except for me and thee. I like that. And then Then he looked at his friend and he said this, "And sometimes I wonder about thee." Amen. Huh? So he was a perfect one. Isn't that us? That's us, isn't it? Sure it is. Yeah, everything's good, but sometimes I wonder about you. Amen. That's what we think. But that's what people do today. That's how they live their lives today. They're not living to the fullest. And worst of all, we succumb to disappointment. Why? Because we're suspicious of everybody around us. That's sad, isn't it? You got to walk around with eyes in the back of your head. You remember when Amy Farrick was sitting there going through the caring for a confirmation for the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court? I always liked what she said about her kids. How do you keep your kids in line? And she made the statement, "I have eyes in the back of my head." Amen. So yeah, she was pretty up front there, right, on that. Sometimes you need to look around to see where you are. You need to see what's happening around you. And not be suspicious of everybody, but be focused on where you are today. It's a marvelous thing to know how much God loves us and how much God wants us to live for Him. But look what He said in verse 7. This is the key to the whole passage, is this. He said, "But as for me." Well, let's go back to verse 1 real quick. "Woe is me," amen? "Woe is me." He did all he said, "Woe is me." But then he said this, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Now, let me ask you a question. He went through all of this from verse 1 through verse 6, but nothing was good. He was disappointed. You know, and you think to yourself, well, he's just on the wrong road, isn't he? His life isn't what it should be. He's not looking at himself and examining himself. And all of a sudden, what does he do? He stops for a minute and he says this, but for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He said, "Rejoice not over me, for my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will do what? Be a light to me." All of a sudden, he woke up, didn't he? He woke up. He said, "I know what I need to do." He said, "I need to turn to God. I need to trust in the Lord." What does the Bible say? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, verse 7. You got to put that down sometimes and open the Bible up and look at it. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All the ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path." He will direct your path. He will give you the guidance that you need. But you got to put Him first place in the life that you're living. Until we do that, we don't get too far, do we? Trust Him, He said. Then He said this in verse 9. Let me finish it up here. "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him until He pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out of the light and I shall look upon His vindication." Now, when you look at that for just a minute, I want to read something that Paul said in his writings. He said this. He said, "Wretched one that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He said. Paul said, "I'm a wretched man. I know that." He said, "My life is not what it should be." Micah said, "I know what's going on around me." He said, "I see disappointment. I'm upset about it. Things aren't going well." But then he finally realized one thing. If I trust in God, He will hear me. He will put me back into the light that I need to be in. He said, "My sins will be before me, but God will do what? God will vindicate me because I've asked for forgiveness." Let me ask you this question this morning, too. How many of you want to be vindicated? How many of you want to have Christ in your life? How many of you want to put Him first in everything that you say and everything that you do? But until you make a change, my friend, you'll leave this place the same way you came in, lost and without Jesus Christ on the road to hell. The only way you'll ever change that is accepting as your Lord and Savior. You know, we can play footsie with the devil all you want, but just think about one thing. One day he's going to latch on to you, and when he pulls you into the portals of hell, it's because you didn't listen to what God told you. You didn't listen to the word that He gave to you. You see, the issue here is not whether we are disappointed in God or anything. The issue is whether God is disappointed in you, the life that you're living. Is He pleased with you? Call yourself a Christian? Is He pleased with you when you walk into this church on Sunday morning? Is He pleased with you during the weekday when you're not living for Him and you're living in the world out here? How pleased is God with you? You can only answer the question for yourself. think about that disappointment for just a minute. When you die without Jesus Christ, and you know it says absent from the body, present with the Lord, well, absent from the body is present with the devil, amen. It works both ways, because without him, there is no heaven. You have the greatest opportunity in your life to change your destination. No matter what this world may throw at us, or what disappointments we may see, whether this week or whatever, the number one thing, my God, my Father, will never, ever disappoint me. You believe that? Turn your heart to him today. Don't leave this building without Christ, because if you do, it may be the last time you ever walk out of this building before he calls you home. You have no idea when your tomorrow is going to come or when it's going to end, but it can end